Welcome to Moving Forward, the listener-supported radio ministry of Dr. Stephen Rummage of Brandon, Florida. Our goal at Moving Forward is to faithfully preach God's Word to strengthen His people and, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to draw people into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. Would you like to partner with us in meeting that goal? To send your gift today, call us at 1-855-436-2961 or go to stephenrummage.com and click the Donate button. Thank you for your vital help in reaching that goal. And now, for today's broadcast. Anger isn't sinful. In fact, anger can be a powerful force for good. So how do you turn anger from an enemy to an ally? Welcome to Moving Forward with Dr. Stephen Rummage, Senior Pastor of Bell Shoals Baptist Church in Brandon, Florida. I'm Bill Carl, and today Stephen begins a series called Upside Down. Now, Stephen, how did you come up with the title for this new series?
Well, you know, Bill, as I was studying for this series, and as I looked in the scripture, I began to see a pattern emerge from the teachings of Jesus, and that pattern just really struck me. It's very interesting. Jesus would often say, "You have heard it said, but I say to you." And we see that pattern several times. And what came next after he said that was a complete 180 from what his disciples had been taught. Essentially, he turned the conventional wisdom of his day upside down. And so for the next several broadcasts, we're going to be considering four different scenarios where Jesus reveals a new way of approaching a familiar situation.
Now, in today's series, we talk about handling anger. What does Jesus have to say about that?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Jesus never condemns anger. He never says that anger itself is wrong or sinful. But what he does do is he gives us some very clear boundaries for our anger in order for it to be a tool for good and not for evil. So today we're going to look at how we can keep our anger in bounds and turn it from a foe to a friend.
Thank you, Stephen. And as always, if you need to miss a portion of today's broadcast, you can listen again at stephenrummage.com or using the Stephen Rummage mobile app. Now let's join Stephen for the message, Getting Your Relationships Right, from Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 through 26.
Jesus begins in verse 21 of this text by saying, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder." Several times in the passages that follow, Jesus will start by saying, "It was said to those of old," and then he gives a commandment from the Old Testament. Now, we've got to understand what Jesus is saying in these verses in light of what he said in the earlier verses, back up in verses 17 through 20 of this chapter. And there, Jesus says, "Hey, don't think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." He says, "I'm not coming to set aside anything about God's law, but I am coming to fill up God's law so that you will understand the full meaning of it." And then he says to them in verse 20, "Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." That was a strange thing for him to say, because the scribes and the Pharisees on the outside were really righteous, but Jesus saw their hearts. And Jesus knew that while they were getting things right on the outside, inside they weren't right at all. And so beginning in verse 21, he starts to turn things upside down, and he shows us what it really means to be a follower of the Lord. And in the verses that we just read, he's talking to us about our relationships. And I want you to notice three relationship killers that Jesus warns us against in these verses. Three things that will kill our relationships that the Lord Jesus Christ warns us against. The first thing he warns us against is clinging to our anger. That's the first area of relationship that Jesus addresses. He says, "Don't cling to your anger." Now, I'm going to tell you before I get into this message any further, I'm going to spend longer on this first point than I will the second and third points for today, because I really want to talk to you about the danger of clinging to your anger. There are some people here today who look pleasant and act sweet, but you know that there's anger you're holding on to in your life. And Jesus says it'll kill your relationship. So he says in verse 21, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder." He goes back to Exodus chapter 20, verse 13, the commandment that says, "Do not murder. You shall not murder." Now that command, "You shall not murder," specifically prohibited malicious and willful taking of the life of another person. It does not prohibit fighting in a war and taking life in war. It does not prohibit executing a criminal. In fact, God's word commands both of those things in places in the Old Testament. But to murder was to willfully and maliciously take the life of another person. And so he says, you have heard it said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. Over in Leviticus chapter 24, verse 10, the word of God says, whoever takes another man's life, his life will be taken away from him. There is a biblical justification for capital punishment. And so they understood that. And the scribes and Pharisees said, okay, here's the command. You shall not murder. If you murder, you're going to come into judgment. But then they said this, don't murder anybody, but you can get as mad at somebody as you want to. And you can hate them as much as you want to. Just as long as you have not taken their life, you have not done anything wrong. Jesus takes it deeper. He takes it further. He says, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Jesus says that if you hold on to anger against another person, against your brother, he was speaking to Jewish people, and he says, if you get angry at another person in your community, that holding on to that anger makes you liable to the same type of judgment as a murderer. Clinging to our anger, in God's eyes, is as serious as taking somebody else's life. I heard the story from a pastor, true story, that a pastor told who used to work in an emergency room. He's working one night in an emergency room. A couple came in, a man and woman, and they both had gunshot wounds. And here's what they found out. The man had woken up late that morning for a new job because his wife had not set the alarm clock. He got mad at her. They started arguing, so he took out a gun and shot her in the arm. She got mad, as you would imagine, ran and got a shotgun and shot him in the arm. Now they come into the emergency room, both the man and the wife, with gunshot wounds. They are lying on stretchers, handcuffed, each of them, to a stretcher, a sheriff's deputy in between them, and this pastor who used to be an emergency room worker said this. He said, I was working, getting their paperwork ready, when I heard them say something to one another that sounded like it had to have come out of a country song. He said, the husband looked at the wife and said, I love you, baby, and I'm sorry I shot you. And she looked at him and said, I love you too, baby, and I'm sorry I shot you. Now, can I ask you a question? What's keeping you from killing somebody? Bad aim? Is that the only thing that keeps you from? No ammunition? I'm serious. What keeps you from acting out on your anger in the worst possible way? Is it just fear of being punished? Or fear of finally stepping over the line and it's okay, if I do that, I'm breaking God's law, so I won't do that. Jesus says this, that if you have a relentless anger towards someone, that you are liable to the same type of judgment as someone who commits murder. That's what Jesus says. Jesus says clinging to our anger is a relationship killer. Now, I want to talk to you just a moment about anger. Because the truth is, anger in itself is not sinful. God has given us, as his creation, he has given us the capacity to feel anger. Anger is a God-given response to injustice and unrighteousness. When you see something that's not right, when God's law is being broken, when God is being mocked, it is right to feel anger and it's wrong not to feel anger. When someone is being mistreated, when someone is being abused, It is right to feel anger, and it's wrong not to feel anger. And so anger in itself is not wrong, but there are situations under which anger becomes sinful. And the Word of God addresses those things. Look with me in your Bibles at some different times when anger becomes sinful. First of all, anger becomes sinful when anger is motivated by selfishness. When your anger is motivated by a desire to get ahead, or because you feel slighted, when it's motivated by selfishness, anger is sinful. Listen to what the Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 1. It says, "What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you?" So anger is sinful when it's selfish anger. So if you're driving down the road and somebody cuts you off in traffic, or they get ahead of you and you feel anger rising up in you, that is selfish anger. You are angry because you feel like someone has disrespected you. You are angry because they've gotten ahead of you, because you think you're more important than they are, because of whatever else it is. It's motivated by selfish. That's sinful anger. Anger is also sinful when it is expressed inappropriately. So number one, anger is sinful when it's motivated by selfishness. Anger is sinful when it is expressed inappropriately. It is possible to have righteous anger and yet to express that anger unrighteously. Listen to what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. It says this, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice." There's some things you need to put away from you, and that is expressing anger inappropriately. If you have an outburst of wrath, if you just lose your temper, that's always sinful. If you begin to slander someone because of your anger, that's sinful. If you begin to fight with someone and act out violently because of your anger, that's sinful. It is sinful when anger is expressed inappropriately. Number three, anger becomes sinful when it rises up too quickly. And some of you are here and you say, "Well, you know, I got a temper, but that's just the way I am." Repent and get it right with God. Quit making that excuse to people around you.
You're listening to Moving Forward with Dr. Stephen Rumage, and today's message, Getting Your Relationships Right, from the series Upside Down. Easter is on the way, and if you're in the Tampa Bay area just passing through during the Easter season, or you live here, Dr. Rumage would love to invite you to attend Easter services at Bell Shoals Baptist Church in Brandon. There'll be a special service at noon on Good Friday to celebrate the Lord's Supper, then three worship services celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ at 5 p.m. on Saturday, April 12th, and then Easter Sunday morning at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. The whole family is invited. Learn more at StephenRumage.com or call 1-855-436-2961. And now back to today's message.
So anger is sinful when it's motivated by selfishness, when it's expressed inappropriately, when it rises up too quickly. Then fourthly, anger is sinful when it lingers too long. And I really believe that's a big part of what Jesus is getting at when he says, if you're angry, if you hold on to anger, that's really what that word means there. If you're angry with your brother, if you hold on to it, just let it seethe and simmer there. When anger lingers for too long, it becomes sinful. Again, back in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 26 says this, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger." What's the biblical principle? If you get angry, don't sin in your anger, and don't hold on to that anger too long. There's some people here today. You've been angry at a person or a situation for a long time. And maybe you had a right to be angry. Maybe it was righteous anger at unrighteous and unjust behavior. Maybe you or somebody you know and love was mistreated in a horrible way, and you had a right. It was right for you to be angry. It would have been wrong for you not to be angry. But now you're holding on to that anger. And that anger has hardened into bitterness and unforgiveness and hate. And you are poisoning your life and the lives of people that you love because of that anger. Jesus says that clinging to anger is a relationship killer. Our anger ought to sort of be like the old dog that sat up on the porch. And, you know, the dog would bark if he saw an intruder coming to the house, but he was really slow about getting up. And he was always eager to lay back down. That's how your anger ought to be. You ought to be able to get angry in the right way at the right things, but you ought to be slow about picking your anger up and eager to lay that anger down. So Jesus warns us against clinging to our anger. Then Jesus warns us against something else. He warns us against attacking with our speech. And he just moves on to the next thing in Matthew chapter 5. He starts to talk about our speech and how our speech reveals our heart. Listen to what the Bible says as we continue on in verse 22. Jesus says, "I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says you fool will be liable to the hell of fire." Now, I want to talk to you about the last two things that Jesus says here. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. The council there probably referred to the Jewish Sanhedrin. And he was saying, listen, if you insult your brother, then there is every right for you to be brought up on charges before the religious leaders. And then he goes so far to say, if you call somebody else a fool, you are in danger. You are liable. That word liable means deserving of. You are deserving of the hell of fire. Literally, the Gehenna of fire. Gehenna was a place on the outside of Jerusalem. It was a terrible place. It was a place that back in the Old Testament time had been used for idolatry and child sacrifice. And because of the sin and the terrible things that had gone on there in that place called Gehenna, a righteous king named Josiah came and desecrated that place and made it a place where nobody would ever want to go again. So that in the day of Jesus, Gehenna was a place where they dumped human waste and where they would discard the bodies of animals and they would set things on fire just to burn up the waste. And it was a place that was always smoldering and always nasty and a terrible place. He used that as an image to describe eternal hell. He said, if you say that your brother is a fool, you deserve eternal hell. If you say an insult to your brother, the word insult there, earlier in verse 22, it says, whoever insults his brother, the word insult there is literally the word raka. It's an Aramaic word that's almost impossible for us to translate, but it means empty. Some translations say, if you call your brother empty-headed, but that's really not the full meaning of the word raka. The word raka meant empty. It meant nothing. It meant looking at somebody and saying, you are nothing. You are worthless. It's the parent who stands in front of a child and says, you're no good. You will never be any good. And I regret the day you were born. The word fool doesn't just mean somebody who has room to rent upstairs unfurnished. It doesn't just talk about somebody whose mental capacity isn't the best. It's a word that they used to talk about somebody who stood so far away from God that God's grace could not touch him. To call somebody a fool means even God can't help you. To call somebody a fool was basically to say, I hope you go to hell. In fact, I don't see anything else for you. These words, raka and fool, in our modern application would apply to the racist who would look at another person and consider that person less than human because his skin is a different color or because he speaks with a different accent or because he comes from a different part of the world. You're nothing. To call someone raka or to call someone a fool would be the same thing in our contemporary application as using a derogatory term, an unkind term, a graceless term to talk to anybody. Now, can I tell you something? We don't need to be afraid to call sin, sin. But we never need to withhold the grace of God from sinners.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Moving Forward with Dr. Stephen Rummage. And today's message, Getting Your Relationships Right, from the series Upside Down. You can have today's message or the entire series Upside Down taken from the book of Matthew when you call us at 1-855-436-2961. That's 1-855-436-2961. You can also listen at stephenrumage.com or using the Stephen Rumage mobile app. You know, as we began today's message, maybe you had questions, and afterwards, maybe you have more of them. That is not unusual. We all ask big questions from time to time, and Stephen answers five of them in the series, Are We There Yet? Big questions along the road. Some of those messages include, How can I know I'm right with God? What makes Jesus so special? And do all religions lead to heaven? This is a five-part series from Dr. Rumage that provides a real faith booster, regardless of how long you've been on your spiritual journey. The series Are We There Yet? Is available on DVD, and it's our gift to you for the month of March for a contribution of any amount. You'll feel like you're in the room with Dr. Rumage as he brings answers from God's Word to some of life's biggest questions. Again, the series Are We There Yet? Big Questions Along the Road on DVD is our gift to you for the month of March when you give to Moving Forward. To receive your copy, just call us at 1-855-436-2961. You can also give securely at stephenrumage.com or using the Stephen Rumage mobile app. Stephen, in today's message, Getting Your Relationships Right, we talked about anger. And so many of us deal with that. Talk a little bit more about a perspective on anger that comes from God's Word.
Well, Bill, it's important to remember that anger itself is not sinful. Jesus never said that it's wrong or sinful to be angry. Instead, anger has the power to bring injustice and unrighteousness into light. And so anger is really something that God has given us as a response against wrongdoing or injustice. You can think about groups like MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Driving. And that group, which has done a lot of good, began when one mother took her anger and focused it on ridding our roads of drunk drivers. So that's just a place where, you know, someone had anger against a wrong or injustice. And we've seen that in other places as well, where righteous anger has made a difference. However, for a lot of us, our experience with anger, we might call it righteous indignation, but it's really not. We're just angry. Our anger gets directed at the wrong things, or even if it's directed at something we ought to be angry at, we express it in the wrong way. And when we do those things, that's when anger becomes sinful. So how can we keep anger from becoming sinful? Now, there are a couple of starting points. First of all, remember, anger is just telling you that something is wrong. When you feel anger rising up in you, it's a warning light. It's a warning light that something is wrong. And when that warning light comes on, you have a choice to make. Will you heed the warning and stop, or will you push through and move into sin? And then the second thing is to remember your response to anger is a choice. It's always a choice. It's never more than you can take. Think of it this way. Have you ever been in a heated conversation with somebody? I mean, maybe you're having to fuss at your kids about something, and they've done something that righteously made you angry. So you're fussing at your kid. You're angry at your kid. And then suddenly the phone rings, and instantly you say, hello, and then you're talking, and you're having a conversation, and you're laughing and everything else. And what did you do? You put that anger on hold. You put that anger on the shelf. You chose not to keep reacting according to your anger, but to talk to someone with calmness and kindness. So really, anger doesn't make you do anything. You choose to allow anger to overcome you. So here's our homework for today. Here's what I'd like you to think about doing. First of all, when the warning light of anger comes on, stop and ask yourself what's causing you to be angry. And then resist that urge to lash out or react. Choose to respond in a way that diffuses the situation. And as you do all of that, pray for wisdom, pray for peace, and pray for God to give you strength to handle your anger as He would want you to. Now, in our next broadcast, we're going to continue this conversation about anger. So I look forward to having you join us then.
Thank you, Stephen. We look forward to part two of the message, Getting Your Relationships Right, the next time we're together. In the meantime, we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Dr. Rumage is on Facebook and Twitter. The easiest way to connect is to go to stephenrumage.com and select the icon from the social media you use the most, and join us in the Moving Forward online community. You'll love the Stephen Rumage Facebook page. And once again, we hope you'll join us the next time we're together for part two of the message, Getting Your Relationships Right, from the series Upside Down. Until then, on behalf of Dr. Rumage and the team here at the ministry, have a great day and keep moving forward.